Everyone, today is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a great day. It's an exciting day to be here in the presence. Amen. I'm going to make this invitation. Some of y'all that might be a little bit further back, just come on up right now. Yeah, just come on up right now.
What the Lord is doing, because Deacon Shirley was in so much pain, she wasn't even sure she was going to come. And she kind of made her way in, but then she just turned to me and said, "Look, I can move now." And so we just bless the Lord for what he's doing. Amen. In the midst of worship. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for continued manifestation and progression and total manifestation. Amen. Well, I'm excited today. I guess I'm always excited, but just even more so in particular about today, because today we get to honor and observe Rosh Hashanah today. So I want to be able to talk about that. And the Lord kind of gave it to me in a different manner. So it was kind of in three segments. Well, we'll be approaching some history, some revelation. And then it's this powerful, awesome, prophetic word that he gave that we'll all be able to receive if we receive. Amen. And so, Rosh Hashanah. What it is, it's a Jewish New Year. So I'm kind of just going to explain this. Many of us are familiar with this, but then we'll go into a little bit of revelation and then release some things prophetically and also release some decrees as well, too, because it's important. All right, so what it is at once it's a solemn and a joyful festival. It is a feast of the Lord, but what it is, Rosh Hashanah is known as the Jewish New Year. And so many of us are familiar, especially as we've been a part of this ministry, we know that God has established set times and feast times and appointed times, but for those that aren't familiar, God has a calendar, so to speak. There's things in which he set aside time to be able to move. And so this is actually one of those times. And one thing in particular about this holiday or this feast, this set appointed time is solemn in a sense, because it's a period where there's awe. An awe of judgment, so to speak. Well, no, an awe of judgment. So there's 10 days that follow here that go up to Yom Kippur. And but then you have that all time where there's judgment, but then it's joyful because it represents the hope and future redemption of Israel. And we're talking about the observation in the Jews. And then also Rosh Hashanah marks the beginning of the high holy days. So there are seven feasts in total, but there are some particular ones that are in this fall season. And so a scripture, you can jot it down, is actually for this particular one, for Rosh Hashanah. It's in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 through 25. So given some historical and present day, as many observe today. So Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 25, and I'm going to read this. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation," which is a gathering, a meeting. "Ye shall not do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So there's a gathering, and then there's an offering that takes place in the midst. But then one thing that we see in particular for this particular feast is the blowing of the horns, or the blowing of the trumpet. And so another thing, and I'll jump back into that in a little bit, but another thing as far as for Rosh Hashanah, here we have a Western calendar or Gregorian calendar, which we know our Western New Year begins on January 1st. But the Lord has decided, and you know, he has seasons, so he marks this period as the beginning. And so Rosh Hashanah, it, by definition, it means beginning or head of the new year. Beginning or head of the new year. And so as we've read in the scripture in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 25, what we see here is that the Lord said, again, there shall be a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. And so this particular feast is distinguished. One, we know it as Rosh Hashanah, and this the head or beginning of the new year, but it's also most commonly known as the Feast of Trumpets. And many of us, how many of y'all have seen a shofar before, a shofar, the ram's horn, and we've heard the blast, things of that nature. And so the biblical name for this holiday is Zikron Teruah. And so I'll try to say that again, Zikron Teruah, which means the remembrance of the shofar blast. Or Yom Teruah, which is the day of the shofar blast. And so what we see here in some English Bibles, it's called the Feast of Trumpets. And so what will be taking place among Messianic Jews, those are those that actually believe in the Messiah, and those that have yet to come to that revelation, it takes place at sundown, which is the beginning of the new day there. And so this, I thought, was very powerful as far as for some of the reasons for the sounding of the shofar. The shofar. Because we talk about, you know, a sound, and it signifies so much. But the shofar, there's actually 10, and there could be more. The shofar is associated with the coronation of a king. The shofar, number one, is associated with the coronation of a king. Number two. The shofar heralds the beginning of the penitential period. The shofar heralds the beginning of the penitential or repentance period. So number one, it's associated with the coronation of a king. It's tied in. It heralds the beginning of this penitential period. Here's another thing. The Torah was giving amidst the blast of a shofar. And then it says this, that the prophets compare their message to blast of a shofar, meaning that the sound that they release as compared to the blast of a shofar, the sound that is being released. Here's another one. It is a reminder of the conquering armies that destroyed the temple. And this actually came from a Jewish person just years ago, as far as for just some of the significance. Number five, it is a reminder of the conquering armies that destroyed the temple. And again, this is the historical context here. Number six, and you could kind of phrase it in your own, it is a reminder of the substitutionary sacrifice of the ram for Isaac. You know how the Lord provided himself a ram. And of course, the shofar is blown through the ram's horn. So it's a reminder of that substitute. Number seven, it fills one with awe. And that's found in Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Number eight, it is associated with Judgment Day. Number nine, it heralds the Messianic Age. And then 10, it heralds the resurrection. And of course, there's more because it deals with war and things of that nature and victory. And it's so much more. Now, according to tradition, somebody say tradition. And this is where there's a twofold here. On Rosh Hashanah, the destiny of the righteous are written in the book of life, and the destiny of the wicked are written in the book of death. And so what many believe, as far as those that are locked in tradition, they take these 10 days for those who believe that their name might not be written in any format. Then they have 10 days of just repentance, and then to see that God can put their name in the book of life. Now, thank God for Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Thank God for Jesus. Because we as believers, we've got so much to be thankful for. Because he's already taken care of our atonement on the cross. Thank you, Lord. And so there's forgiveness in him. And so what this does, some of the prophetic significance is, and it's actually several, but it commemorates the creation of mankind by Adonai, as well as the calling up. Somebody say calling up. And this is just even just the sound of the blast of the horn, and then just the importance of this, the calling up of the new creation at the revelation of Jesus Christ, which will happen at the sound of the shofar. Because he's coming again. He's coming again for his church, for his bride. And one of the signals is the blast of that shofar that will signify this age and this era. And so this calling up belongs to us. And we're a part of that. And then the beautiful thing about it is when we're in Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life forever. It ain't no wondering. It ain't no if, and, or buts. But there is assurance and there is surety in Jesus Christ. So that's some of the historical context, but some of the revelation now, when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, this is some of the mistake that people might believe is they might feel like that this is just a festival or feast time that's just for the Jews only. But that's a misnomer. That's not true. These feasts belong to the Lord. These are God's appointed times where he looks for a gathering, and there's beautiful things that take place. So what this is, as us as believers, this is a high spiritual time. It's just activity that is going on in the heavenlies. And there's if we can tap in and see that there's angels that are available to be released in this season. If I can speak on this level, there are portals that are open. Portals that are open. And I just believe in particular for this house that this is just a wonderful time of favor that is upon us. Wow. And so the revelation of Jesus. Things are awakened, portals are open. And so what we want to do as a church is discern the time of the Lord. Discern the time. We can honor and we can partake of the blessings and the prosperity. The blessings and the prosperity that is available at this time, because I think it's not by accident that these feasts also take place in a moment in the natural where it is a harvest season. So we have all this that is available for us at this moment, and we can partake and we can receive. So we thank God for his feasts that we're able to receive the blessings of. Amen. Now, one of the things that jumped out to me that was significant was the fact, you know, and honestly, just be honest, God is so good, be honest, when I was just even meditating on this, the Lord, he was reminding me, he was like, no, there's a service that takes place where the Jews will be gathering, and they'll be releasing the shofar, and they'll have their traditional readings that they read as several readings, and the sound of the shofar blasts like 100 times. But it's readings, and so I was actually watching some of these things and just looking at some of the readings of what they do for Rosh Hashanah, and he was letting me know, he's like, man, many hear the shofar, but they don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. What they don't understand is that all, and this comes by revelation of the Holy Ghost, all of the feasts, they point to Jesus. Jesus is revealed in all the feasts, and it points to God's plan of salvation for his people. And so at this moment, and I just let you know, because this is just a prophetic act and a prophetic thing that we're going to get ready to do, because it's important. You know, God loves the Jewish people. It is not a us against them. We are grafted in, but they're first. He said so. Doesn't make us less than, but it's order. And so he has a plan. One of the blessings of us, for those that might not know, you can dig a little bit in New Testament, but one of us to be able to receive the blessing of salvation and the inheritance and partake of the blessing that the Jews receive, and it'll stir them to jealousy and to draw them closer to see Jesus. And so what the Lord was sharing with me is what we, this is a beautiful thing, that we have an apostolic and a prophetic house. And so we said that, granted, we don't have a ram's horn as a shofar, but we saw that we do have a prophetic voice that can be sounded and released as a shofar. And this is what I was doing just even this morning, because Rosh Hashanah typically takes place at sundown. And then the Lord just placed it upon my spirit. He was like, go see what time it is in Israel. And so I just pulled it up. Right now, it is currently 6:05 p.m. in Israel, which means that they are in Israel beginning to celebrate and to release the sound of the trumpet blast. Can we agree with that? I know that is God's heart. He loves his children. So let's just stand right now. Let's just be in agreement. It was something, because, you know, my wife and I, we were just like, man, you know, we just wanted to be able to watch a movie. And then it just came out of my wife's mouth. She was like, you know, is there maybe like a documentary? Because we haven't necessarily watched a whole lot. We don't watch a ton of movies. But it's like, is there a documentary? So I just went to Amazon Prime Video, and it's like, man, let me see a documentary. And then saw one that said Above and Beyond, and I was like, oh, wow. And what it was about the independence of Israel as a nation, and how the Air Force, began, because they didn't have an Air Force, but how people came. It was Jewish Americans that came, and then some Americans that came and started an Air Force. And if you don't know, in the natural, Israel has a serious Air Force. God's hand is clearly on that nation, because they're surrounded by so many other countries that do not believe in, whether you realize it or not, they want to wipe out Israel, but they can't. It is a tiny nation surrounded by so many nations that are against them, but God's hand is on them. I actually saw a video of like modern day within like the past decade or so. It was something that was going on in Israel's army, and it was literally like a dust cloud and a storm that blocked us, some people that were trying to send stuff to Israel. And I think it was like Israeli soldiers. They were videoing it. The storm didn't move. It stopped right there. It was almost like a line, and they were just like, and I was like, oh my gosh. And so the people that were trying to fight against them could not fight. So his hand is upon them. So that's an encouragement. But again, above and beyond, and this is in connection that I believe in particular for our house, our ministry, our lives, as we step into this spiritual new year. This is something that we can partake of. And so this is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 20 in the Amplified. And this is actually an apostolic prayer that Apostle Paul released. So the Amplified Classic, for those, if you might be looking at it digitally, if you go on YouVersion, this particular one says Amplified Classic. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. I see the other Amplified. I'm like, I just heard the Lord is carrying that sound that we released too. That's strong. Thank you for participating and releasing that sound. It means more than what we even realize, but we'll see. So it says this. This is Paul. For this reason, seeing... Let me pause right here. This past Wednesday night, one, we've been dealing with the past couple of weeks. God placed upon my heart, and I couldn't let up I thought I was done. He's like, nope, I need you to keep on. And then when he started showing above and beyond, I was like, oh, there's more. Been dealing with about dreams, visions, and then we haven't talked about this part, which will, the prophetic word will be, but this past Wednesday, we watched this video. The Lord came across this video. It's like, man, let's release it. And so we played it. It is powerful. Just talking about sight. It changes the way we even do praise and worship. I'm telling you, when we were talking about lifting our hands, I was like, God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm seeing even by lifting our hands, that I'm dancing and seeing you. So if you can, what you can do, you can sign you. If you haven't received it, just put your email. We'll create a handwritten list, whatever the case may be, so that way we can get that out to you. We want you to be blessed by this as well. Yeah, and so it's by a gentleman named Apostle Rennie McLean, and he was at Apostle Maldonado's church, but it was powerful for those that haven't heard of him. So again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 20, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven, somebody say family in heaven, and on earth, that's us, is named. That Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. And then this is what he says, verse 16. May he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Verse 18, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. With what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. Somebody say fullness of God. May have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now, I don't know if some of y'all, how many of y'all, maybe when you were out and about yesterday or within the past couple of days, received on your phone that boop, that warning. It was like a flood zone warning. How many of y'all, let me see a show of hands. How many of y'all? Well, we just released the sound, I believe, right now of a flood of God himself coming into our lives prophetically. Amen. And coming even into our region, if we can just see that. I just saw that right there. I was like, oh my God. Here man announces a flood. God's like, man, that ain't nothing new. And then verse 20. Now to him who by and consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond, somebody say beyond, our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Wow. And then I'm just going to read this in the Passion Translation, just verse 20. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Wow. Now, the thing that was amazing, because when I started seeing above and beyond, when the Lord was just telling me in particular about this service in Rosh Hashanah for the year, he's like, look, you're not going to have no message. He's like, I want you to prophesy. He's like, I just want you to write what I'm going to say. So I was like, oh, okay. So what I'm going to share, I don't believe it's very long, but I'm going to read it to you. And so I don't know if we have Ms. Marcy, like some of her instrumental music, just to be able to play. And while I do this, I'm just going to give a little plug. if you have not, and I just keep saying this because it ministers to our household. What you can do, you can go on YouTube and type the name Marlena Dudley. There's some instrumental music that she has, and I'm telling you, it really does usher in the presence of the Lord in your house. And then you just put it, it's a playlist, and then you just put play all, and then it'll just play all that sound. This is one of the cool things about it. There was a moment with our youngest daughter, Keziah, and, you know, she's all active and all that type of stuff. And then all I did, I just put the phone out, and I just played the YouTube of Marlena Dudley, and the next thing you know, Keziah just laid out peace. And truth be told, what I found out not too many minutes later, I was out. I was in the presence of the Lord, but I was waking up. It's like, she good? She okay? The next thing you know, I was out again. I was like, God, your presence is so good. I was like, what song is this? But the reason why I wanted to play, because sometimes, you know, as she's ministering, but, you know, I believe that the Lord just wants her just to be able to partake of this prophetic word as well. Amen. So what you can do, and again, this is new. I haven't done anything like this, so I'm just kind of I'm following his lead, but it's written down. But you can just kind of just close your eyes and just hear his voice. If you need to just kind of just listen a little bit and just hear him. Amen. And then we'll have an apostolic decree based upon the word that we've read after this as well, too. Because things happen with a declaration. It's prophecy, word of the Lord, and then we want to declare what he said based upon Ephesians 3:20. Amen. Yeah, you can turn it up a little bit. Hallelujah. What's even so powerful about this? This is some of the stuff that the Lord already said through Pastor Gabe as well, too. I was like, man, God, he means it. All right. So he says, come up higher, my child. I want you to play with me. Come play with me in the field of dreams. You feared that you'd be lost in the field of dreams, but that isn't so. You can't get lost in the field of dreams, but you can be found. Let me restore the frustration you've experienced as a child. Let me remove the stain from words that others have spoken negatively to you about your dream. I want you to dream. Your field of dreams is actually my field of desires. Have I not said, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field? Let's walk in this field. Let's dance in this field. Let's run through this field. Let's play. Let's play. You can't make a mess I can't clean up. Will you accept my invitation? Do I have your yes? My field is ripe and ready. And you shall be blessed in this field. My invitation comes with a condition. You must let go of the past. It has been weighing you down from rising. I didn't give that weight to you. The weight I give you doesn't weigh you down. It lifts you up. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. that which has been depressing and suppressing did not come from me. That's a fallen imagination from the fallen one. Repent, then let go of it, and it will let go of you. The pain is not greater than the power of my promise. Let it go, so the weight of my glory can cause you to arise and shine. Come up higher, my child. Don't be afraid of what or who you'll leave behind. There's so much more for you here in my presence, in this field. Come, I will inspire your imagination. Go ahead, ask me to do it. Ask me to inspire your imagination. Seek me to do it. The just do it. I'm asking for your imagination. I can renew it. It's my gift to you. And I love when my children use my gifts. It's not useless. It's not a waste of time. I want to see your imagination. I want to see it. I want to see it without limits. When you play in the field of dreams, my power can work within you. The power is according to your imagination, and it works when you're at rest. Lie down in the field and look up. No more toiling, no more stress. When you rest, my power is at work. It cannot be both, so rest in my power. Rest in my work. Oh, there's so much more to your imagination than what you know. Your imagination isn't yours alone. I gave it to you. Ask me to inspire it. Ask me to breathe on it. Ask me to ignite it. This is how I go above and beyond. When you ask and when you imagine. Here's the secret, and I'm excited to share it with you. Are you ready? Yes, you are. Your imagination is a small portion of my big imagination. But yours is important because it's a part of what I use to image a nation. Oh, if you could only see the full image of the nation that I see. But what you see through your imagination is a part of my picture, so it's valuable. That's why I want to see it in you. You're a beautiful part of this image for my nation because you are a part of this nation. I am above and beyond. I am above and beyond. I am above and beyond. And this is where I've called you to live, above and beyond. Come and see in the light and joy of my salvation. Now, image a nation in my salvation. Image a nation in my salvation. The just shall live by imagination. That's in my salvation. Now, what see ye about this day? What see ye about this year? See what I have said, then say what I have shown. Take my counsel and plan according to imagination that I've breathed upon. You know my breath. He dwells within you. He's my Holy Spirit, the counselor. So take my counsel, the Holy Spirit, and plan according to the imagination that He's inspired, that He inspires, and it will surely come to pass. Write it down. Talk it out. And do not waver from it. Again, I say, write it down. Talk it out. And do not waver from it. This will be a sweet year for you. This will be a sweet year for you. This will be a sweet year for you. It is so. And to that we say, amen. Wow. Wow. Yes and amen. Whew. That's funny. I just feel them right now. As soon as you say it is so. Wow. So it's imagination. I won't even add. So I'll say this. This word is sent to mend fractured faith and to increase capacity to move in greater faith according to what God inspires in his word and in your spirit. It is also sent to restore broken areas from childhood where the purity of imagination was corrupted and where dreams were ridiculed, abused, or feared. So he says, fear not, be restored. And then lastly, I'm speaking to you on dreams, visions, and imaginations because I'm bringing you into possession. I guess all I can add is, thus saith the Lord.